certainly what a day that will be. Amen. Who knows what the song was saying? What the song was singing about? Amen. Amen. I mean, to a lot of people, it sounds like something supernatural. Amen. Well, it's super spiritual. And it is. Amen. God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. But one day, it'll all come to pass. Thank God for the children of God. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more unkind words. Amen. No parting. Amen. Amen. Just be heaven forever. Just be heaven forever. Well, I'm glad of the promises of God. Amen. But the more than promises of me, amen, it's my life. Amen. It comes alive, and I'm glad of that, aren't you? Now, if you're unsaved, you're going to miss that. You can go through this world and gain a lot of things and a lot of prestige and a lot of honor in a lot of ways, but if you miss heaven, you're going to miss it all. Name one way to get there. It's just like it's always been. Amen. No other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved, save the name of Jesus. Amen. You'll have to come in repentance, heartbroken and contrite spirit. Amen. And beg God to save you. Amen. Somebody said, I ain't never begged. Well, you will. Amen. If I was you, I'd become a beggar before I got in hell. That's what I'd do. Oh, you'll be a beggar down there. You won't only beg for yourself. According to Luke 16, you'll beg for others. Amen. So you're amen. Amen. I've asked them to sing this song. Then we're going to ask Brother Terry to come. Amen. Listen. I've heard people say about our days, you know, they'll make excuses for coldness, they'll make excuses for this, they'll make excuses for that. And they'll say, well, preacher, we're just victims of prophecies. Hey, let me tell you something. When I got right with God, I ain't been a victim since. I mean, this world's tried to victimize me, the society's tried to victimize me, folks have talked about me and mistreated me, amen. But thank God, I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I can rejoice according to that. Amen. I've got the right to rejoice. He gave me the authority to rejoice. I'm set free from all that victim stuff. I become a victor, not a victim. Amen. Amen. You can have that too. Well, you know, this world, it's just greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. If be so, then He's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I just feel like testifying tonight. I ain't testified all week. Be all right if I testify for a little while now. Amen. Vigilant. Be vigilant. Watch. Amen. We're living in these last days. I've not got no argument about that. And we may be further over than I think we are. And I think we're a long way over. And I realize all these things that He's talked about prophetically is coming to pass. It's going to come to pass. I know He talked about coldness. But thank God, I'm not going to be a victim to coldness, Brother Terry. I'm not going to be a victim to lukewarmness. God, and greater is He that's in you. Greater is He that's in you. Overcome these things. Now I'm getting victim to age. Thank God He's going to fix that too. The body's got ailments. He's going to fix that too. Amen. I ain't got nothing to grumble about. Amen. My biggest problem is sin, self, and Satan. I don't know about you. Amen. But I'm glad I've got victory. Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Well, you ought to smile then. Yeah, you ought to smile. You ought to hold up the blood-stained banner and say, hey, I'm a winner. Either way, it don't matter if I go or if I stay. I'm a winner. Either way. Then I'm going to spend eternity. While the ages roll. Amen. Just before Brother Terry comes, go ahead, ladies. Amen. Amen. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. You can be free from the victim of this world, and Satan and self and sin, if you'll come. Sing it now.
We'll be right back. You know, we identify with a lot of things. We think about death, we identify with the sorrow and the loss and the departure and all that. And I'm not saying that's all wrong. But you know, there's some things that God, although He knows all things, and all men are from sin. Oh yeah, I have this and I have that. I hope you don't understand what I'm talking about tonight. Amen. But I'm glad He identified with me. Amen. He took my unrighteousness and put it on His account. He that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. He took my guilt. He took my shame. But Terry preached to us this week. Not the guilt and the shame that He went through. Offered Himself with no reputation, but offered Himself even to the death of the cross. And you and I can be saved. He identified with me. He knows your needs. He feels our infirmities. He knows everything about us. Ain't nothing hid. Amen. And it'll all be revealed. He knows it. He knows it. Amen. They're going to continue saying, Brother Terry is going to come. I am going to let him preach. Amen. Y'all saying? While the ages roll, some of you have been here longer than I have. Some of you not near as long. Thank God. One day.
A million years have passed.
One day.
Amen. What blessed assurance for the people of God. I bless His name for that tonight. While the ages roll, we're temporal, so it's hard to think eternal. God's eternal and never thinks temporal. And I'm glad in that day there'll be no end to it. Praise the Lord for that. Genesis 22, if you have a Bible tonight, Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22, familiar scripture. I want to read verse 1, preach from that verse if I can tonight. Genesis chapter 22, got your Bible and want to follow along, we'll read that verse number 1 there in 22, then try to preach. Bible said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Lord, I love you tonight because you first loved me. And I appreciate the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. I thank you for your presence around here. You touched, dear Lord, in the songs. You touched on the man of God, the pastor tonight. The other saints, Lord, we appreciate what we've felt and what we've experienced and what's been made real again to us. We understand, Lord, that beyond this veil of tears, beyond, Lord, this, Lord, that suffering and sorrow, Lord, there is a better and a brighter tomorrow that will be forever. It will be, Lord, none ending. And I appreciate that. I pray now you'd touch, Lord, your servant as we endeavor to preach. You know, Lord, that's on my heart and mind. Lord, I have no other where to read from or to go. This is the only thing, Lord, that's lodged in my soul. I pray now, Lord, you'd give me ultimate utterance to proclaim what you'd have me to say. May I be pliable and usable in your hands tonight. May, Lord, you give us that touch that man can't preach without. May the word of God go forth from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. May I lose sight of myself and where I'm at tonight. No, Lord, may I preach without fear or favor of man tonight. May I proclaim the word of God as it is to men, women, boys, and girls as they are. Would you awaken sinners to their need of you tonight? Would you draw them, Lord, with cords of conviction and love? May they fall out of the ways of sin and fall in love with the Savior. Oh, dear Lord, tonight, would you stir the hearts of saints? Those that are cold and indifferent, may they get right. Those that are walking afar off, may, Lord, tonight they draw nigh. May each one of us be revived, renewed, and refreshed by being here tonight. Please don't leave us like we've come, but, Lord, work effectually and mightily in and through all of us tonight. Above everything, get glory to your worthy name. What you're pleased to do in, through, and for us, I'll thank and praise you. I ask what I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach tonight from this verse, if the Lord will touch me and help me to do so. The Bible said it came to pass after these things. I want to preach on after these things. After these things. And in respect tonight to this verse, and this chapter tonight, the Bible said, after these things, the Lord did tempt Abraham. We understand when the Bible said the Lord tempted Abraham, that it was not a solicitation to do evil. For James 1 reminds us, God is not tempted with evil, neither doth he tempt any man. But every man's drawn away when he's tempted. He's drawn away of his own lust and entice. But the word temptation here, or tempt, my friend, is the word trial, or the word that tests.
And the Lord is testing, and the Lord is trying Abraham. By the way, if Abraham is the father of faith, and he is, if Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he did, then I remind you that we who are the children of Abraham by faith, and Abraham is the father of us all, that if God tempted Abraham, or God tested Abraham's faith, he will test and try our faith tonight. If you have the faith of God's elect, if you have genuine, my friend, that faith tonight, God will test and try that faith. The Bible reminds us in the book of Peter, my friend tonight, in 1 Peter, I believe it is, chapter number 1, the Bible reminds us, and Peter writing to those of like-minded faith, those that have been entrusted God, my friend, and were saved by the grace of God, he called them elect in verse number 2. And he said, my friend, you greatly rejoice. Why are you greatly rejoicing? Because of that, my friend, abundant mercy that has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Why are you greatly rejoicing? For he said, you're looking to that inheritance that is incorruptible and that is undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, you're greatly rejoicing in that lively hope that you have. Amen. But he said, though you rejoice, I've said now for a season, you are in great heaviness through manifold temptations. Amen. And why is that? He said that the trying or the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth might be found, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Then he said in 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, beloved, take it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. If you have God's faith, if you have the faith that Abraham had, God will test and God will try that faith. God will cause that faith to be exercised tonight. If he doesn't, it becomes stagnant. Amen. Or it becomes dull. But my friend, we're saved by grace and through faith. Amen. Oh yes. And the just shall live by faith. God, my friend, will burn the dross out of our lives. God will put us through the fiery trial of our faith. God will place us in the furnace of affliction so that this faith that is inside of us can be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing. Oh, believe it tonight. So when the test comes, when the trial comes, friend, don't think it strange. Don't become disheartened or discouraged. It's just God's divine plan. Oh, yes. Perfecting what's lacking in us. Amen. And allowing that faith to be exercised and to grow. So when we see Him, we can praise Him. And so that faith can be found unto honor and glory at His appearing. Amen. I believe that tonight, don't you? And so the Lord is testing and trying Abraham's faith. Or he's testing and trying the life of Abraham. I think it's strange that the Bible said that it was after these things that the Lord did try or test Abraham. After what things? Well, I think we could go all the way back 55 years in Abraham's life and again in Genesis chapter 12. And my friend, we're at 75 years old and the Lord calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Amen. And Abraham, according to Hebrews 11, went out not knowing whither he went. Hey, friend, and we could say it is after this. After Abraham believed God, after Abraham walked out of Ur of the Chaldees, after Abraham came out of the land of his nativity, after Abraham left that place of idol worship, after Abraham left that place of my friend, that he called home, and we began to look for a city which have foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible said it was after this that the Lord did tempt, or the Lord did test or try Abraham. Then you could go right on in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, 14 and 15, and find all the events in Abraham's life where he had to believe God, where he had to take him by faith, where he had to trust him. And oh, it is after all of that, after 55 years of walking with God, after 55 years of leaning on God's promise, of taking God and his word, it is after all of this that the Bible said the Lord did try or did test or did tempt Abraham. Mainly tonight, I'd like to concern or direct my thoughts tonight to chapter 21. Talk about those things, those particular things in chapter 21 of Genesis tonight, and say it was after these things, after the things that took place in Genesis chapter 21, that the Lord did try or the Lord did tempt Abraham. First of all, I want to say tonight, it was after the birth of Isaac that the Lord did tempt or try Abraham. Now here's Abraham. He's approximately 130 years old. Here's Abraham. Hey, God, it looks like he ought to be able to rear back in the recliner of faith, in the easy chair of faith, and just take it easy for the rest of his life. Oh, he's done what God has said. He's walked with the Lord. But now the Lord has another trial and another test for his life. It is after the birth of Isaac. 25 years he believed God for this son. 25 years he walked in the land of Canaan about him and never possessed a bit of it. Yet was promised that it would be his and his seed after him. And the Lord called him my friend. His name was Abram. He changed it to Abraham. Abram meant God, a mighty father. Abraham meant a father of many nations. A God, every time he came to Abraham, I kept asking him to believe him all over again. Actually, to believe him in a greater manner than what he had when he revealed himself to him before. And every time Abraham just took God at his word, amen. Oh, when he said, you're a great father, a mighty father, but a father of many nations. He had not yet give him a child. He had not yet give him a son. But Abraham kept believing God. And there come a day, just as God had promised, there come a time, just as God had said, amen. Hallelujah. By the way, a time has no restraint upon God. And oh, God waited until Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90 and they Oh, I could not have children. It is impossible for them to have children. Oh, my. But God said you will. Amen. And at 100 and at 90, God kept his promise. God visited Sarah. Amen. That's what verse 1 said in chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. Amen. As he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. I remind you tonight, it still holds true for any of us tonight and for all of us tonight. As God had said to Sarah, as the Lord had spoken unto Sarah, he did. Amen. And as the Lord has spoken unto us, that's exactly what he's going to do. Either good or bad tonight. Amen. If you're saved, he's coming back for you. If you're lost tonight, there is the promise of everlasting destruction, eternal wrath, eternal damnation. Oh, he'll come in vengeance, my friend. Oh, and all those that have not obeyed the gospel will perish. Oh, it's promised tonight. And as he has said, and as he has spoken, so will it be tonight. But he had promised Sarah that he had come to her. Verse 2 said, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. God had a set time, and God runs on a schedule tonight. Amen. Can I say to you tonight, hey God, what's going on in our world tonight? Amen. Has not upset God's schedule. Has not caused him, hey God, to have to back up and start wringing his hand and say, I didn't know that's going to happen like that. I didn't know it'd be like it is. I'm going to have to do something different. Oh no. Hey God, Jesus came on time the first time the Bible said when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And when he comes the second time, it'll be exactly on time. He'll not be late one moment. And God's not going to delay his coming. He'll not tarry his coming, but yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. He's on his way. Amen. He's got a set time. Amen. And you have a set time. Amen. If God in mercy, amen, first of all gives you time as far as in this world. And you see, none of us have any time. Yet what God allows us or allots us tonight. Amen. Every breath we have, Lord, it's in him that we move, live, and have our being, and we are his offspring. Oh, all of us created by God tonight, and he holds the breath of life. He holds a life in his hands. It's not in ours. Hey, and he's only allotted us so much of that time or a set time. Amen. What he says to man, according to the book of Psalms, I got 70 years. His man allotted. Oh yes. By reason and strength. He might can go further than that. But that's God's allotted time. And you can shorten those days. Yes you can. And a lot of folks have tonight. You have a set time. Amen. Hey, God, that's generally speaking. But none of us are promised tomorrow. Most not simple tomorrow. They'll know us not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Amen. All of us are one step from eternity, one heartbeat, my friend, from destruction. Hey, God, our deliverance tonight. Hey, listen to me. God, help us tonight. And so it is, my friend. Hey, God, we have a set time, not only in the natural life, but can I say God has a set time or a space of repentance. Amen. Hear me, friend. You don't get saved any time you get ready. You don't get saved just when you want to. I thought you don't crawl up on your dying bed and press a dying pillow and then say, I'm going to get saved. God in mercy allow you to do that, but He's not promised you that. And you can only repent as God grants you a space to repent. It's not in your hand or in my hand. When we do business with God, that's left up to God. And the time to do business with God is when He's doing business or dealing with you. And oh, it's such a fearful thing to shun and to push away the divine dealings of God with our soul. Because we're not sure if we'll have the next breath or if God will be dealing with us if we do have the next breath. Amen. God help us. Well, there's a set time. And God said to Sarah, I'll be back. You'll have a child in 9 months. And sure enough, she had a son. Not just a child, but a son. Amen. Bless His name. It was God's, amen, divine and miraculous power that caused it to be. Amen. Hallelujah. And Abraham believed God for this child. Romans 4 tells us that who against hope, speaking of Abraham, believed in hope. Hallelujah. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Well, can you imagine that 100-year-old man and 90-year-old woman that had not had a child all of their days? And yet, Sarah's womb was dead. Amen. And Hebrews 11 said there was one dead. Speaking of Abraham, both of them, and God medically speaking, physically speaking, could not have children. But all of a sudden, that 90-year-old woman and 100-year-old man have a son. Amen. And can you imagine as they held that boy in their arms and rejoiced in the blessing and the promise of God and the fruition of what God had promised him would happen. Anybody listening tonight? Hey, God. And that child was born. Amen. My, what faith am I being? What confidence? What trust? I don't believe God all those years that He now bring it to pass. But it was after these things. It was after he believed God for the birth of Isaac that the Lord did test him. For the Lord tried him. Not only it was after these things, after the birth of Isaac, but in verse number 10, it is after he said goodbye to Ishmael that the Lord did tempt him. Ishmael, probably 13-year-old when Isaac's born. And Isaac is being weaned now. And they're having a feast and rejoicing in him. And that could have been anywhere from 2 to 5 years old. And Ishmael could be 17. Amen. Could be 15. Could be 18. Somewhere along in that line. He mocks Isaac. Sarah's upset. She comes to Abraham. Said, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for they shall not be heir with the promised seed. And the Lord says unto Abraham, hearken to the voice of Sarah. As she has told you, so do. I know it's grievous to your heart and to your spirit and to your mind, but do as she said to do. Now, he never told him to hearken to her when she presented Hagar and told him to take her and to lie with her and to bear seed. God never said that. He never said hearken to her voice, but he did here on this occasion. Anybody listening to me tonight? Amen. And so he puts water in a bottle, thank God, and puts it on Hagar's shoulder and sends her and that son away, and he watches them walk off. Am I being the scene? And do they become two? A little black spots across, walking across the desert. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? And waves goodbye to his own flesh and blood. I know he missed the mark. I know he got ahead of God. I know he tried to usurp of God's power by bringing in this Ishmael into his life. Anybody hear me tonight? But yet it was his flesh and blood that he hated to see him walk off and not to see him anymore. Are you hearing me, friend? But because God said do it, and because God said, cast out the bond woman, cast out the bond son, cast out the issue of the flesh, cast out that that's of your own making, and your own, my friend, fruition, and Abraham hearkened and believed God and did it by faith.
Amen. But it must have been a tough thing to watch that boy walk across that desert. Amen. It took a man of faith. And Abraham's a man of faith. But it was after these things. It was after he waved goodbye to Ishmael that the Lord did test him or try him. Amen. Thirdly, can I say, after the experience at Beersheba, the Lord did tempt Abraham. At Beersheba, the word Beersheba means the well of an oath. And at that place, the Lord, amen, looked down as Abraham and Abimelech, amen, the Philistine captain, made an oath. Abraham is saying to Abimelech, and Abimelech is saying to Abraham, hey, we're going to live together. I understand who you are and what God's done for you, so we're going to leave you alone. You leave us alone. Abraham said, that'll be good. And in that oath at Beersheba, I thought they separated, though they were in the same land and dwelt in the same country, they chose to live separate from each other. And confirmed it by an oath. Takes a man of faith to live separate in the world and in the country where he dwells. Are you listening to me tonight? And he was willing to separate himself from the Philistines, thank God, of that day, and from their lifestyle, and be who God wanted him to be. Amen. Bless his name. Separation's almost a curse word in most average churches today. When you talk about separation and sanctification, folks want to take a pooch mouth. They want to get their upper lip raised up. They want to feel hard and angry because they don't want to talk about separation. Amen. Are you hearing me, friend? Abraham, I look like I have nothing else to give or lose. But he pledged himself to live like God. I wanted him to live and to be separate from the Philistines and the land where he sojourned. God help us to always be a sojourner, a pilgrim, and a stranger, and never get adjusted to the world in which we're a part of tonight. Amen. Takes a man of faith. Not only did he have an oath with Abimelech, the chief captain of the Philistines, at Beersheba, but it was at Beersheba
where he dwelt. But the Bible said in verse 33, he planted a grove. Every time we'd seen Abraham since he'd come out of Ur of the Chaldees, he always had an altar. But now he builds a grove. And it's not a grove of idolatry like the children of Israel quite often built during the time when the kings ruled. My friends, send the prophets and rebuke them and reprove them for their idols and their groves that they had built for those idols. Amen. Abraham had an altar, thank God. And that altar was a personal fellowship. Thank God, spoke of the personal relationship between Abraham and Jehovah. By the way, and you already know this, two things denote a pilgrim. Thank God, his tent and his altar. Are you listening to me? Amen. His tent shows his relationship to the world. His altar shows his relationship to God. Lot left both of them. He left the tent and the altar and built. Thank God, or wound up living in Sodom. Amen. If we're to keep our pilgrim character as we sojourn through this world, we must keep our tent. That tells the world we're not living down here. Thank God, we're not going to get adjusted. We're looking for another country and another city. Amen. This is not our dwelling place. We're a pilgrim as we're passing through. And our altar speaks of our reliance and our dependence upon the God whom we serve. And the fact that we have fellowship and communion with Him. And so He now builds a grove, not an altar. An altar was personal. But when he built that grove, everybody could see it. He wanted everybody to see it. He wanted everybody to know that the God he served was Jehovah. Now, Canaan was filled with all kinds of gods. Amen. As a matter of fact, most of the Canaanites worshiped more than one god. Amen. But Abraham that come out of Ur of the Chaldees said, I want all you Canaanites to know by my altar and my grove that I've built around that altar that there's just one God. Amen. And that's the God I'm going to serve. That's the God who I've covenanted with. That's the God I'm going to live for. Anybody listening to me tonight? Amen. Oh, hear, O Israel, our God, our Lord, or thy Lord, is one Lord. He is tonight, and God, He is a monotheistic God. That is, He's a one God. Hey, are you listening tonight? He's not three gods. He's one God in three manifestations. There is but one God and one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? Amen. Oh my. And he said, that God, Jehovah, that led me to Ur of the Chaldees and into the land where I now dwell, that's the God. That's the God that I will serve and live for. So these four events come in the life of Abraham. And it looked like he could pop up his feet and say, this is it. I don't have anything else for God to test me or try me about. I don't need any more refining. I have reached the pinnacle. I have reached the plateau. I have reached the top rung of the ladder with my faith and with my life. I have believed God to the fullest. And there's nothing else. But it was after these things. When he's 130 years old and has believed God for all these blessings and all this bounty and even this goodbye to Ishmael, that God says, Abraham, Abraham, understand tonight, as Brother Freddie so aptly testified, preached, however you want to say tonight, explained to us about our bodies and how they get old. I understand there comes a time when we cannot do the things that we once did, even when it relates to the service and the work of God. I thought it was very admirable, the dear preacher that I heard. And he said, he done got well in years. And he said, Lord, let me understand and realize in my preaching when I have got beyond my usefulness as a preacher. That does happen. Am I listening to me? Some things happen. And sometimes mentally and sometimes physically and sometimes both. A man gets beyond where he can speak and preach and help a congregation or a people. Anybody listen to me tonight? He said, help me, Lord, to always understand and realize when that time comes where I can step aside, where I can move away, where I'll not be a hindrance. Anybody listen to the preacher? But yet, seems to be in prevalent in most of our average churches today is that when folks get a little age or a little, hey God, a little time living for God under their veil, that somehow it's time to take a seat. Sometimes it's, for some reason, it's time to sit down and let the young folks have it. Amen. But it looked like in the life of Abraham, God said, Abraham, I got something else for you. Amen. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Oh, I tell you tonight, this journey, thank God, this living for God, this walking for Him is ever onward and upward, thank God, and we're ever reaching forth and reaching up, hallelujah, and I believe the last rung on the ladder awaits us when we step off of this shore, onto that shore. And until then, God will test our faith and try our faith. Amen. And it will be after the faith that we've already trusted Him and believed Him for. Anybody heard me tonight? For He has to refine our lives. And He has chosen us in the furnace of affliction. And He does want to get all the impurities and dross out of our lives. Amen. God said to Abraham, Abraham. And I like Abraham's response. I wonder tonight, can you and I say to God what Abraham did? And God said, Abraham. And Abraham didn't know what God was wanting, where God was wanting, or who God was wanting. All he heard Him say was, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. He made himself available to whatever God wanted in his life. Though he had lived a life of faith and looked like, hey God, I've been super faithful. Hey God, I went far beyond the call of faith in what he did. It is after this that the Lord spoke to him and said, there's another trial. There's another mountain to climb. Amen. Oh, there's another a furnace of affliction to go through. Hey, there's another test for your life. And Abraham said, it doesn't matter what it is, Lord. I've learned all of these years that you're faithful. And so I'll just say, I'm available. Whatever it is, wherever it is, whatever it is, here I am. I ask you tonight, at what point in your Christian walk did you quit saying, here I am? At what point in your Christian life did you decide you were holy enough, you were separated enough, you were sanctified enough? Amen. You'd prayed enough.
You'd preached enough. You'd given enough. You'd gone enough. What place and point in your Christian life did you decide you had reached the plateau, that there was no other plateau to climb? Amen. That you got to the rung on the ladder that you thought there was no other rung on the ladder. Amen. Abraham, there's another place. Abraham, hey God, there's another mountain. There's another offering to be made. Are you listening to me? There's another time to believe me. Oh, by the way, this was his greatest trial and his greatest test. Amen. Are you listening? All the other trials had just primed him and got him ready for this one. Every step he took got him closer to this one. And was God just being mean to Abraham? Was God just doing something to Abraham so he could say, I did this to him? Was he just testing and trying his faith because he's got all power and he's infinite in his wisdom and he can just do that to mankind? Does he toy with us like that? He never does anything to us. He always does it for us. He's always got a means, a perfected means, a purpose, a plan, not just for himself. Though he does things for his glory, he also does it for our good. We don't see it sometimes. It don't look like it can be good from our vantage point. Hallelujah. And I can't preach the rest of this tonight. I don't know if I'll get it, if I won't, but hallelujah. Bless his name tonight. But I'll tell you, the vantage point changed from Abraham down at the bottom of that mountain to when he got on the top of it. Down at the bottom, it looked like a place of suffering, a place of sorrow, a place of sacrifice. But when he got on top of that mountain and did what God told him to do, and God sent the ram in the thicket, he looked down from God's point of view and realized it wasn't what he has given up, it is what God has given back to him and what God was showing him. Hallelujah tonight. Amen. And that it looks like on our part tonight, amen, is taking what we hold the dearest and the best, hallelujah, and giving it up to God and losing it. Hallelujah. He didn't lose it, he gained it. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. Bless his name tonight. I don't know that he knew all the particulars, but somehow wrestling through the night, he rose up early and realized that's what God was going to do. For he told those two servants, I am the Lamb, go yonder and worship and return again unto you. I don't know how he's going to do it. I thought Hebrews 11 said he received him in a figure. He thought if I put him to death and he's the promised seed, I bet, oh, even the Messiah's going to come through. God's going to have to get him up out of the graveyard. Hallelujah. And he received him in a figure. Amen. Are y'all listening to me tonight? As a matter of fact, hey, if Abraham had not went to the top of that mountain, he had never saw that ram caught in a thicket. He had never seen that God was going to provide himself a lamb. Not just that day, but in the future day when Christ died on that same mountain range. He had never seen that at Beersheba. He had to make that mountain climb. And you see what God wants out of us is us to lay everything on the altar where he can show forth and shine forth his son to us and through us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And that's what he did. Amen. Bless his name. Here I am. I'm available to you, Lord. When the Lord spoke to him, he said, now I know. And then as we spoke to him the second time, he said, now I see that thou hast not withheld withheld thy son, thine only son. That's all he had left. Then wave goodbye to Ishmael. Then wave goodbye to the Philistines. Hallelujah. Then wave goodbye to Ur of the Chaldees. That's all he had. And evidently somewhere in that, in his spirit, in his heart, there was a clinging and a holding on to.
Oh, yeah.
That was the son of his old age.
Yeah, I see.
Not only the son of his old age, that was his firstborn.
Yeah.
And the son of his old age. And there wouldn't be no more for Abraham and Sarah. Oh, he wanted to hold. But God said, I want him.
Yeah.
Offer him to me. And not only offer him to them, but offer him in the most gruesome way that you can offer a sacrifice, the burnt offering, which is completely consumed. And he did. Oh my. I wonder tonight, after these things, what God is talking to you about tonight. In the Old Testament, if anybody arrived on the faith train and on the faith ladder, it would have been Abraham. And in the New Testament, if anybody arrived, it would have been Paul. But he said, neither do I count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. He said, I've been at it a long time and I've suffered a whole lot. But he said, I still hear him saying, Paul, what about you tonight? When did you become comfortable in your Christianity? When did you become self-satisfied to go no further with God than you are tonight? Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, as you propped your feet on the stool and reclined back in the easy chair and said, I believe God enough. I've been tested and tried enough. I've denied myself enough. I've served and sacrificed enough. I've reached the plateau. I wonder tonight, as you're at your Beersheba tonight, where you've made an oath. And all of that's admirable tonight, but do you not hear the voice of the Savior as He's calling your name and saying, there's another trial, there's another test. I've got something else I want to show you and show through you. Gospel was preached to Abraham. Oh my. Could have been right there on that mountain. What about you tonight? Everybody stand, please. Do you need to pray tonight? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Do you hear the voice, the loving, tender voice, the invitation of the Savior tonight saying, Abraham, will you say, here I am? Sinner, are you here tonight? And He's calling you to repentance? You just got that space. Some folks are still alive tonight, but they don't have that space to repent. And they'll never be saved, though they live in this world. And some have done gone out of this world tonight. And therefore, the space to repent is gone forever from them. Either way tonight. Either way tonight, would you not come to the Lord? Would you not hurry to Him tonight while you have time and opportunity? Would you not repent before it's too late? I'm saying, if you need to come tonight, will you not respond? Everybody, obey the Lord. Now sing whenever you get ready. Altar's open to you.
You need to be saved. You've heard the voice of God. You feel the need. Would you come? And if you're saved tonight, and God is calling you to draw nigh, God is calling you to move out, would you not come tonight? While you have time and opportunity, while you have your right mind, while the Spirit of God is drawing, while the voice of God is speaking, would you come tonight? Prepare to meet thy God. Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Would you respond in a positive manner to the voice of God? Would you yield yourself to the Spirit of God as it draws you tonight? Will you let God have His way with your life tonight? Heed the warning. Whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, whether you're young or old or middle-aged, saint or sinner, if God is calling, will you not come? While we continue to sing, and some are still praying, would you love to pray? Do you feel the burden to pray? Do you feel the need of prayer? Oh, don't let another opportunity slip between your fingers, slip out of your hands, without you making peace with God. Oh, do what you know you ought to. Do what the Spirit of God has bid you to do tonight. Listen, hearken to the voice of God. Obey the drawing of the Spirit of God. While we sing another verse, would you come tonight? Step out from where you're standing or sitting. Come, whether you're to front or back, on the right or the left. Come if you can. Come if you will. Come before it's too late. Oh, would you come as the Lord calls tonight?
Told one of his prophets one time, he said, "Thou art old and well stricken in age, yet there's still much land yet to be possessed." Amen. 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 Careless soul. Careless soul. dearly soul. You may have been ashamed of a lot of things in your life, as I was. But when you face God at judgment, you'll never be ashamed like you'll be ashamed that day. Brother Terry mentioned to you about that space of repentance. I too believe that, preacher. In the book of the Revelation, he gave Jezebel a space to repent, and she repented not. And God's mercy and God's grace and God's long-suffering has been plentiful to this generation. And He's again provided you a time and a place and an air to repent. And you may choose to reject it. And He's right. You may not ever get another opportunity. I'm not saying you won't. Pray God's mercy and grace, you do. But you may not. But you may not. And that drawing good touch of God, that wooing of the sweet Holy Spirit. And it's true. It's true. The Spirit's true. God's true. It's all true. The message was truth. Amen. God preached before unto Abraham. I do believe it's on that mountain. And Abraham rejoiced to see it today, and he did. Amen. Yes. Amen. I'm glad you're here tonight. I feel God squeezing my heart, church, and I know you do too. And we appreciate you, and we love you, and we want to make you feel loved. We want you to treat you with love. Amen. There ain't many places you can find that, but we try our best to. We don't argue, we don't fuss, we don't grumble. Amen. We might discuss an issue every now and then. Somebody say, well, how do you get by like that? Because God's in control. And He's not the author of confusion. And as long as He's in control, it's the same way if you laugh. If you leave Him in control, you can stay clear of confusion. You'll find out that grace will justify you. It'll make you straight. It make you think right, act right, do right. It teaches us. Amen. Not only how we got saved by grace alone. Amen. But it's still working. It's still teaching us and helping us. Wonderful preaching. I don't want to hold you any longer. Amen. Than necessary. I appreciate you for being here tonight. Some making a trip all the way from over around Pisgah way and others. I appreciate you and our folks tonight. I appreciate you for being here. All our visitors, you come be back with us tomorrow night. Amen. Probably be the last night of the meeting. Don't know for sure. Amen. We have been known to go 2 weeks. Your response was supposed to be, go on, preacher, go on. Instead of dropping your head and saying, uh-oh. Amen. We'll do what God leads. Amen. I know a lot of times that don't suit a lot of people, but we do what God leads. And if He's pleased, I'm happy. Amen. And I like being happy. All right. Tomorrow night. All right. Remember these families we mentioned earlier. A lot of others, a lot of our church and all that. But hey, I'm glad. You might be seated just a minute. Appreciate what Brother Cherry said. Amen. I'm not hardly the man I used to be. Connie tried to tell me. I wouldn't listen, that's my wife. You know, and I busted this leg all to pieces and I had to